The Lord be with you.
With you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our special service on this New Year's Eve as we tell the story behind some of our favourite Christmas carols. We welcome also all who are joining us online, and on the eve of a new year, we're going to be using the words of these great hymns and carols as a source of inspiration and wonder as we contemplate again the marvelous truth that God became human in the form of a baby and lived among us. So may our lives this morning be filled with gratitude and wonder and praise as we offer ourselves afresh to Him. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. A reminder that after our service, no coffee this morning after our service, and there's no evening service this evening. But on Wednesday, there is our service of Holy Communion with prayers for those who are sick. And on Wednesday evening, Pilates is returning, a chance to work off all those mince pies. Wednesday evening at 7. And on Thursday evening, our prayer meeting takes place over Zoom. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. The Connect service is at 11 in the church hall. And next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Holy Communion. So we're going to hear the story, first of all, behind our first Christmas carol. Once in Royal David City was originally written as a poem by Mrs. Cecil Frances Alexander, and it was first published back in 1848 in her hymn book, Hymns for Little Children. And then a year later, in 1849, the English organist Henry John Gauntlett discovered this poem and set it to music. The then Miss Humphreys married the Anglican clergyman William Alexander, and upon her husband's consecration in 1867, Mrs. Alexander became a bishop's wife. And she's also remembered for her famous hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Since 1919, the famous Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols at King's College, Cambridge, has begun its Christmas Eve service with the arrangement of Once in Royal David City as the processional hymn. And in the arrangement that's used at that service, the first verse is always sung as a solo by a boy chorister of King's Chapel. The second verse is sung by the choir, and then the congregation join in the third verse. And that's a tradition that we have adapted here in our own service of Nine Lessons and Carols. But according to the tradition of the King's College Choir, the soloist for Once in Royal David City is usually chosen on the day of the performance when the choir master decides whose voice is the strongest on the day right before the broadcast. So we're going to stand together to sing hymn 177, Once in Royal David City.
Thank you. although no Christmas season would be complete without the singing of the First Noel, very little is actually known about its origin. It is believed to have had its rise in France during the 15th century. Noel is a French word originating from Latin, meaning birthday. The song is thought to have been brought across the Channel to England before 1823, and it became a great favourite for Christmas Eve, especially in Cornwall. This was when the entire village gathered for singing and celebrating the bringing in of the Yule log. At this time, carols were thought of as popular religious songs, and they were meant to be sung outside the church rather than within. The First Noel tells the story of the birth of Christ, and all six verses are needed to complete the entire event when the hymn is sung. The sixth verse urges us to join together to sing praises to God for the marvels of his creation and for the salvation provided through Christ's shed blood. The repetition of the joyous Noel in the refrain is equivalent to our singing Happy Birthday to someone. So let's stand and sing hymn number 198, The First Noel.
Thank you.
The next carol that we're going to consider and sing in a few moments is While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. And that's a carol that's attributed to Nahum Tate, who died back in 1715. He was the son of Faithful Tate, an Irish clergyman, and he was also poet laureate to William III. And this carol, like a number of our carols, is based on words from Luke chapter 2, in this case verses 8 to 14. This carol first appeared in print back in 1702 in Hymns Ancient and Modern, and it was arranged by William H. Monk to Winchester Old, which is an anonymous 16th century tune. Interestingly, it wasn't until 1782 that it was the only Christmas carol officially sanctioned by the Church of England. We're going to sing together hymn 188, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. We're going to pause from our carols for a couple of moments as we still our hearts and minds for a little moment before God, and we reflect on those times when we have not been the people that God would want us to be. And so we're going to confess our sins and seek God's forgiveness and the opportunity for a fresh start on the eve of a new year. We pray together. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry, and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our next carol, the well-loved Sea Amid the Winter Snow, was written by Edward Caswell in the middle of the 19th century. It was originally a seven-verse poem created as a dialogue between the readers and the shepherds. When John Goss, the organist of St. Paul's Cathedral and professor of the Royal Academy in London, composed music for it, the carol became popular throughout Britain and indeed across the British Empire. It tells the story of the Nativity from the viewpoint of the shepherds, and it captures their wonder and their joy when they see Jesus. The refrain to each verse continually adds to the excitement by declaring Christmas Day to be the dawn of redemption for the whole world. We stand to sing hymn number 179, and we're going to omit verses 3 and 4, See Amid the Winter Snow.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends our Bible reading.
The original title of our next hymn was Three Kings of Orient, also known as The Quest of the Magi. And it was written in 1857 by John Henry Hopkins Sr. At the time of composing the carol, he was the rector of Christ Episcopal Church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And apparently he wrote the carol for a Christmas pageant in New York City. Many versions of this song have been composed, and it remains a popular Christmas carol. It centers on the biblical Magi who visited Jesus as a child in a house sometime after his nativity and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh while paying homage to him. Of course, there are no details given in the New Testament about the number of Magi that were present, or even if they were royal. Legend and tradition has it that they were kings from the Orient, known as Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. The number three simply stems from the fact that there were three separate gifts given. So we sing hymn number 201, We Three Kings of Orient Are.
Thank you.
We're going to come now to a short time of reflection and prayer. And as part of this time, we're going to hear two poems. And sometimes poets have a way of using words to transport us into really, really important truths. And the first poem is a poem that's based really around the whole events and season of Christmas. It's written by John Betjeman, and it's Christmas 1954. The bells of waiting Advent ring, the tortoise stove is lit again, and lamp oil light across the night has caught the streaks of winter rain in many a stained glass window sheen from Crimson Lake to Hooker's Green. The holly in the windy hedge and round the manor house, the yew, will soon be stripped to deck the ledge, the altar, font and arch and pew, so that the villagers can say the church looks nice on Christmas Day. Provincial public houses blaze, corporation tram cars clang, on lighted tenements I gaze, where paper decorations hang, and bunting in the red town hall says Merry Christmas to you all. And London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers as hurrying clerks the city leave to pigeon-haunted classic towers. And marbled clouds go scudding by the many-steepled London sky. And girls in slacks remember Dad, and oafish louts remember Mum. And sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells say, come, even to shining ones who dwell safe in the Dorchester Hotel. And is it true, and is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent, and hideous tie so kindly meant. No love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. And as we think ahead to a new year, we hear a poem by Minnie Louise Haskins. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God, that shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. So heart, be still. What need our little life, our human life, to know if God hath comprehension? In all the dizzy strife of things, both high and low, God hideth his intention. God knows his will is best. the stretch of years which wind ahead, so dim to our imperfect vision, are clear to God. Our fears are premature. In Him, all time hath full provision. Then rest until God moves to lift the veil from our impatient eyes, when, as the sweeter features of life's stern face we hail, fair beyond all surmise, God's thought around His creatures. And a prayer this morning for peace. Lord, as we pray for the peace of the world, we pray that it would begin with us and in us. Help us to have the courage to make peace when it's costly, to make the first move. Help us to get over our pride and stubbornness, and to have the humility to see our own faults. Help us to be people who make this world a softer space. And so we pray for politicians, for government and community leaders, to keep striving for your good purposes in all that they do. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we also want to pray this morning for all who find this time of year particularly difficult. We remember especially those who feel the loss and bereavement acutely. We pray for those whose life choices have impacted their relationships with family and friends. We pray for all those who are caring for loved ones with memory loss and health issues that impact every single day. We pray for those who are sick or lonely or anxious. And we ask, Lord, that you would be the light in the darkness, the source of hope, and that you would equip your people to carry your hope into the world, to make it a brighter place. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so may the wonder of the shepherds, the joy of the angels, and the peace of the Christ child be yours at this season. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore.
And so we come to our last carol. On Christmas Eve in 1865, Philip Brooks, an American Episcopalian, rode the perilous journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to assist at the midnight service in the Church of the Nativity. 2 years later, inspired by this experience, he wrote the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, for his Sunday school. Interestingly, he was 6 feet 6 inches tall and capable of preaching at more than 200 words a minute. As you can imagine, he was a great favorite with the children. The carol was introduced to England in 1906 by Vaughan Williams, who arranged it to the traditional tune Forest Green, which he had acquired from peasants in Surrey a few years earlier. So let's stand and sing hymn number 174, O Little Town of Bethlehem.